This is the third in our mini-series, The Great Gift Exchange. Today we're talking about give God your grief and He will give you His joy. We're looking at Psalms chapter number 30. Trey, I think we have one right over here on the other side. Here. We've been talking about being honest with God and giving Him our struggles in exchange. He will give us something in return. The first week we talked about giving God your worry and He will give you His peace. Last Sunday we talked about giving God your hurts and He will give you His healing. And we talked about our hurts that we have and the pain that we suffer, the things that we go through. If we would give those to God, He would give us His healing for us. Now that doesn't mean that He will fix all of the circumstances we're dealing with. It just means He will give you a sense of goodness in your life. Today we're talking about give God your grief and He will give you His joy. You know, a lot of times we think about Christmas as a happy time of year, a joyous time of year, but the reality is a lot of people struggle this time of year. Maybe they're dealing with some type of grief of some kind or something. Maybe they're struggling over a loved one that's passed away, and it doesn't have to be that they've just recently passed away. Maybe it's someone who passed away years ago, but Christmas brings us back to the memories of them, and we struggle with the loss of them. Some folks are grieving over broken relationships. And so as we come to the holidays, we're reminded of our hurts, and they just our loss, and they seem to be amplified this time of year. I remember when back in 1973, I was just 19 years old, my grandmother was Lula Ann Morgan Lowe. Now, I love that name. Grandma Lowe, she passed away in the fall of that year. She was, I think, almost 83 years old. But every year at Christmas time, my memories go back to Grandma Lowe. I don't know why, but they always do. She was very special to me. She played a centerpiece role in my life. And I remember that year as we gathered together for Christmas. Yeah, it was a good time, but it just was not the same because Grandma Lowe was not there. Have you ever been there with someone in your family and you just seem to miss them more during the holiday season? Your grief, sometimes your sorrow for missing them seems to be amplified. And that's only natural. Okay, it's only natural because we love them. Our memories are stronger than we think. We wish sometimes that, you know, I wish my grandmother could be here and see all of my grandkids. I wish my mom could be here and see all of my grandkids. She loved my kids, her grandkids, so much. I'm thinking, what would she do with all these grandbabies that I have now? And so we come to this time of year and we think about them. If you live very long, you're going to suffer grief. That's just a reality. Our physical life is only temporary. Each and every one of us that are sitting here this morning have an appointment with death. And we know that, but it doesn't necessarily make it easy when a loved one passes away. We deal with grief, and so this morning we're going to talk about how does God want us to handle grief when we come to it. How do you deal with that loss of someone in your life? Maybe it was a death. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was I'm grieving over a relationship that has ended. Maybe you're grieving over a marriage that went awry. Maybe you're struggling with an estranged child or a sibling, a brother or sister or someone in the family that you don't see anymore, and you grieve over that broken relationship. We feel grief, a sense of loss, a sense of goodbye. So how can we learn to deal with that grief? Now, it's on your outline there that most people deal with grief in one of three ways, and they do it very silently. A lot of folks, when they grieve, they deny the loss. It's no big deal. Okay. I'll get over it. And we talk ourselves out of hurting. We just chalk it up that, you know what, yeah, I lost them, I'm grieving over it, but it's really not that big deal. We try to deny it. A second way that we deal with our grief, and it's on your outline, we delay our pain, okay? How many times have you heard, time will heal everything? We delay our pain. No, it's going to be all right. I'm grieving now, but eventually it'll be all right. I learned to accept this. It's no big deal. I don't need to work through it. I don't need to talk to anybody about it. I just put it off for now, and everything's going to be okay. The third way we deal with our grief, and it's on your outline there, is we try to distract ourselves. We get busy, especially this time of year. I'm doing so many things. I'll keep my mind occupied, and I'm going to focus on something else. And that way, I don't have to deal with this sense of grief that I'm going through. But let me say, God has a different plan. It's the same plan that we've been talking about the last 3 weeks. Whenever we're dealing with something, if we will take that to God, He gives us something in return. So it's on your outline. God wants us to acknowledge the reality of our pain. You just need to get honest with God. God, I do hurt. Deal with it. And then secondly, God wants to hear about it. He wants you to talk to Him about your loss, about your pain, about your grief. And that's not so that you can tell Him and inform Him that you're grieving, but it's so you're again acknowledging you have that grief. And God, I'm trusting You to bring healing in this. But then it's on your outline, after God wants to hear about it, it's on your outline, God wants you to hear from Him about His comfort. God wants to comfort you. Did you know some people are not open to that? They build that wall. I'm not going to let anybody, anyone get in. I'm going to insulate myself. I've dealt with enough hurt, enough grief, and I'm not even going to let God in. I'm going to handle this on my own. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to hear from Him about His comfort. Now today we're going to focus in for a few minutes on the life of King David. We talked about him back in September. David was very familiar with grief. From early age, David had a history of losing people. He watched his friend Jonathan die in battle. He was just beginning to come into his own to become the king when he lost his mentor Samuel. While he was still just a young man, his first wife, Michal, her heart was turned against him, and it was never the same. David grieved over that. He lost her affection. After a time, David would lose his first child that he had with Bathsheba. David knew loss. David knew what it was to grieve. And he would write a lot about in the Psalms about grieving. And this morning we're going to just read Psalms chapter number 30. This is actually a song that David wrote that's supposed to be sang at the dedication of the temple. Now David wanted to build the temple, but he wasn't allowed to. God didn't let him. God didn't allow his son Solomon to do that. But David would write this psalm, this song of dedication for the temple. And in this song he talks about his grief. He's grieving over the sin in his life. But he's also grieving then over the separation he's had from God. And then he's grieving about all the different situations he's dealt in life. And then he rejoices how he comes back to God. Psalms chapter number 30, you're probably familiar with it. You can read in your Bible, follow on the screen, or it's on your outline there. David said, I will extol, I will exalt Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up. God, You rescued me. You have not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's a pattern I want us to go back to in just a moment. Verse 6, David said, in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to hold me back. Lord, Thy favor, Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled. David said, Lord, I was shattered. He's reflecting for a moment on the sin that was in his life and how he was brought to remembrance of that sin. And then he began to repent. He remembered about when he sinned and he strayed away from God, and yet God still loved him and God would bring him back. David said, I cried in verse number 8, I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto Thee, the Lord, I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? David is literally begging God, saying, God, what good does it do if I die? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Did you get that? You turned my mourning into dancing. And you've put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that was my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. A couple of phrases that jump out to me in this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to use them kind of a pattern for us today. The first one was in David, in verse number 5. David says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. David is talking about the temporary nature of grief that we feel. And again, there are different kinds of grief that we deal with. David at this point is grieving over his sin. And he said, Lord, I'm coming clean about it. Lord, I'm sorry for the sin that was in my life, and I'm going to confess it unto you. Listen, we need to be honest about our failures to God. Man, none of us perfect. Somebody was on the radio the other day, and they were interviewing them, and it was a preacher. I believe it was Jeffries, Pastor Jeffries from First Baptist in Dallas. And they were talking to him, and he said, I didn't vote for our president because I thought he was clean in moral character. He said, that man is not clean. He said, there's a lot of things that he does I don't like, but he said, I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of things in my life that I do that I don't like. I'm going, well, it makes a lot of sense. Somebody said, if the law knew what the Lord knew, we'd all be in jail. Mm-hmm. So let's be honest, we all need to come clean with God about the sin in our life, and we need to grieve over that, truly be sorry for our sin. And when we do that, God gives mercy, and He gives grace, and He gives forgiveness if we will confess our sins. And David is talking about grieving and then coming through a time of sorrow and suffering for Him. There were David says, I've known a lot in my life about suffering. There were times when David feared for his own life. He felt that he was at the edge of dying. Lord, what good will it do if I go down to the pit? God, what good will it do if I'm dying? He's grieving. He's being chased. He's being hunted like an animal. God delivered David. David acknowledges that and said, Lord, you delivered me. You saved me. And in the moment of that grief, God saved him. David said that grief just lasted for the night. It was just for a moment, but joy came in the morning. And then in verse number 11, and I love this. And you Baptists are going to have trouble dealing with this, I know. But David said, you turned my mourning into dancing. Now, I love that picture. David said, I was low, I was down, I was mourning, I was sad, I was grieving. But thank God you brought me through all of that and you gave me joy in my heart and I began to dance just to express my joy. Now, would you agree that this is that there's a lot of burdens this time of year, with a lot of struggles this time of year, and sometimes the grief, I'm struggling with all of the burdens this time of year. Would you like to have joy this morning? Amen? What I would like to take and do then for the rest of the message, we're all going to stand and we're all going to dance this. I'm kidding, okay. I had a couple of folks start getting up and said, all right, let's go to this boogie. David said, you took away my mourning and you turned it into dancing. I feel so much better. You've given me joy. You've taken off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Sackcloth was the clothing of mourning and sorrow. If you notice it, that's the gift exchange we've been talking about the last 2 or 3 weeks. David said, you took my mourning and you gave me dancing. You took my sackcloth and you gave me gladness. That's the gift exchange. David said, I'm giving God my grief and He gives me His joy. You see that picture all through Scripture. David says that when I take my grief to God, when I talk to God about my grief, when I open up to God at night, when I get everything else out of my mind, God, I just want to tell you about my hurts and my sorrow. David said as I talk to him, he just seems to lift me up. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. He said, you bring me joy. I think a lot of us misunderstand joy. Some people think, when you say, explain joy, you would say that's laughing and having a good time and smiling and things like that. No, no. Biblically speaking, joy is something that we can possess, something that we can choose intentionally regardless of our circumstances. You get that? Biblically speaking, joy is something you can choose to intentionally have regardless of your circumstances. Joy doesn't mean that you're just smiling and you're feeling all these emotions of happiness. Joy doesn't necessarily mean that I feel happy in the moment. Joy is kind of an assurance deep down that I still have hope, I still have peace, I still have the favor of God, and my circumstances don't lead me to smile and things like that. I can still have joy in my heart. Even in seasons of weeping, even in seasons of mourning, I can choose to experience joy in my life. When you give God your grief, He gives you His joy. You say, a preacher, those verses sound good, and I read those, and that's okay, but how do I do that? How do I relate to that? How do I say, okay, I'm going to apply that to my life this week? And this week, if I get down, and this week, if I'm struggling over grief, over something in my life, how do I find that joy? Well, just a couple of quick thoughts, and we'll be done this morning. The first one's on your outline. It's on the back there, I believe. God comforts us now by reminding us that when we walk through grief, that He's willing to walk through it with you. See, we're still going to have grief in this life, but you can find comfort in the fact that when I walk through grief, God is going to walk there with me as I go through that. That gives me comfort. That gives me assurance. God has been through what I'm going through. I know a lot of people ask questions like, why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow hurt? Why does God allow things to happen to innocent babies? Why does He allow war? Why does He allow famine? You know, and I'm not sure I understand and can explain all of those things. I'm not sure I can. In our logical minds, we see those things in the world. And I don't think there's a really good answer to why those things happen. At least not anything I can fully wrap my mind around, but I don't know why God does unless all those things happen. But listen to me. What I do know, are you listening? What I do know, that God created this world, and man messed it up. Man messed it up. And then instead of God just standing off in the distance and saying, I don't want anything to do with that anymore, God said, I'm going to come down in the middle of the mess, and I'm going to be there with you through it. So that's what the manger was all about. It was a messy place. And God came down and said, I'm willing to be right in the middle of all of that. In the middle of all of the mess of humanity, I'm coming down to be a part of it. So that when you walk through those struggles, I'm going to walk through it with you. Isaiah, it's on your outline. Isaiah 53 says, He was despised and rejected a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's what God did. He came in the form of His Son and He walked on this earth. He went through the grief that we go through. He understands the grief and the sorrow that we are facing. You grieve over losing a loved one. Do you not remember John chapter number 11? Lazarus, a very good friend of Jesus, would die. And Jesus went there, and when he heard the news, it's John 11:35, the shortest verse in the New Testament. Jesus wept. Jesus knows what it is to lose a loved one. You remember John the Baptist was beheaded, and Jesus heard that news. Does it click in your mind that that is his cousin? That is his cousin that's just been murdered. Jesus was acquainted with grief. He knew what it was all about. He knew what it was to be heartbroken. He knew what it was to weep. He knew what it was to have his best friends walk away from him. Are you grieving over a broken relationship? Jesus looked at his disciples and he saw the people leaving by droves. And he looked at his disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" Ultimately, Jesus would go to the cross and lay down his life, his physical life, as a sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus knew what it was to hurt physically. God, the creator of the universe, in the second person of the Godhead, in Jesus Christ, walk through the grief of this world. He knows what you are dealing with. He can relate to you. Now, it doesn't fix all of the grief. It doesn't make it go away in my life. It doesn't change the fact I have to walk through these things. It doesn't change the fact that I'm in this valley. But it does help me to know that God has gone through this, and God puts His arm around me and says, "Come on, son, I'm with you with whatever you're dealing with." That gives me joy. You know, you struggle with things in life and somebody comes along to you and says, "I've been through that same thing." They can be an encouragement to you. And if you have been through struggles of life, if you will look around and you see others who are struggling what you've been through, you can go to them and say, "Hey, listen, I understand. I have empathy with what you are dealing with. You can make it, and I'm here to walk with you through this." There is discipleship. You learning to help others with what you have dealt with. So when I deal with my grief, I'm not just talking to the Creator of the universe. I'm talking to a God who has dealt with everything that I'm dealing with. So when we struggle, we realize that Jesus says, "I've been through that, and I'm going to be with you." Jesus was about ready to die on the cross. You come to John chapter 15, 16, 17, the last night before his life upon this earth. One of the things then that he will share with his disciples, he says, "I'm going to go away. And if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to be with you now." Now that word comforter there is literally an English word that means I'm going to send someone who's going to come alongside you. So you understand Jesus Christ through the Trinity, through the Holy Spirit, is coming alongside of you. He's there to walk with you through your pain, through your grief, through whatever you're experiencing. And He will comfort you through the way. So when we deal with our grief, we understand that God walks with us as we go through it. But then there's a second part to this promise that helps me with my grief, okay? The first one, He comforts me by saying that I've been through it and I'm going to do it with you now. The second one, it's on your outline. It says, God comforts us later by removing every reason for grieving for all of eternity. You remember your memory verse? The last 2 weeks, that's what He's talking about. One day He's going to remove all of the grief that we're dealing with for all of eternity. That's the promise of God. Now, I can't fix all of the things that happen in my life or the problems or the mistakes of yesterday, but what I do know that God has promised that for one of these days, for all of eternity, He's going to fix it, it's going to be handled, and it's going to be settled forever. John would write in the book of the Revelation, in the last book of the New Testament, he's giving a vision from God about the future, and he's showing us what it looks like when God ultimately wins in the end. And it's not just wishful thinking. It's prophecy. It's sure. It's true. It's going to come to pass. God is going to accomplish the absolute ultimate victory and triumph over sin and death and the grave. One of these days, all of that's going to be done away with. It was settled when Jesus rose again, and it will be consummated when Christ comes again. Jesus told John about these things as he ended the book of Revelation in chapter number 21. And John is giving his vision of what he says. And it's on your outline. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he begins to describe all of those things. He begins to tell about what he saw physically there. And then in verse number 4, he said, in one of these days, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Grief, sorrow, heartache, trouble, all gone. That's God's promise. Going to make them all things new. God doesn't fix all the things I wish He'd fix right now. He doesn't erase all of the circumstances of life. But He promised if we'll be patient and we'll just wait on Him, one of these days we're going to experience a new heaven and a new earth. No pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no death, no grieving. I know that. And so now when I grieve, I give God my grief, and God gives me His joy. And the way He does that is by walking with me through this right now. And saying, Dave, I got you. I'm with you. I understand. I've been there. We can just sit and talk about it. When I have my grief, I know that one of these days, He's going to take all of the grief away and it's going to be settled forever. That's something I can look forward to. Savannah, come if you will. The last 3 weeks have been a little different Christmas story. We haven't focused so much on the manger. Haven't focused so much on what happened in Bethlehem there. We understand that's the story of Christmas. But Christmas is about giving. About God giving His Son for us. But there's more to it than just a one-way street. It goes both ways. God gave His Son for us, but God wants us to give Him our hurts, our sorrows, our disappointments, our grief. Life can get pretty messy sometimes. God, He just wants us to cry out to Him. It's Christmas and our focus is on all that we've got to do with the family and maybe last-minute shopping and get-togethers and maybe company parties and things like that. But take time to think about it. God wants to just put His arms around you and love on you a little bit. And I know you folks, a lot of you hurt. A lot of you got burdens. God just wants to slip His arm around you today, comfort you, encourage you. Let's stand, if you will. Father, we come in prayer.